But I want to notice, I want you to notice something as we put up the next slide. Look what happens. Amen. All the things that were gained to him before salvation, look what happened. They shifted in columns. And now the only thing that he has in the gain column is Christ.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Biggest Loser. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Biggest Loser.
All right, Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Here Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And many of you have seen the TV series that's on the NBC reality show called The Biggest Loser. And it's a series where they follow 12 people and they compete to see who can lose the most weight through fitness and diet. And I'm here to talk to you today, not about weight loss, but the biggest loser. Paul, as we look at this passage right here, was a big loser. As we think about what he lost several things, and they were all good. He may have shed some weight in his time that he was serving the Lord here on this earth, and that may be true, but he lost some other things in his life, and I want to challenge us today because I think that we need to look at Paul and see some of the things that he lost, and maybe we need to follow suit along with him. The biggest loser. This should be all of our testimony, especially as we come through life and there are some things that attach themselves to us that we need to find a way to shed some of the things that slow us down in the Christian race. The first thing that we see that Paul lost was that he lost his worldly piety. He lost his worldly piety. All the religious, all the formality of religion. He was able to lose all that. He said that, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, is there a slide up there? That one right there. Paul before salvation. Paul before salvation. Okay, Paul before salvation. All right. Now, if you look at his life before salvation, and we looked at this the last time, and that is that Paul bragged about his circumcision. He said that he was circumcised on the eighth day, just like it was commanded in the law. He said that he was a Israelite, which means that he could trace his heritage all the way back to Jacob. He was a Benjamite. He bragged on the fact that he was a Benjamite and said that, look, you know, the first king came from the tribe of Benjamin, and we got something going on here. He said he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew the law. He kept the law. He followed the law. He was a Pharisee. Oh, you know the Pharisees. He was religious, and he was kept all the 632 laws that were in the Old Testament, and then they began to attach law onto law onto law, so it was probably more than 632. And Paul said, I was a Pharisee. He said, I was zealous. He said, man, I was doing God's work. He said, I went into the church, and I was pulling Christians out, and I was persecuting them, and I was zealous as I did it. I was doing the work of the Lord. He said, before the law, he said, I was righteous and I was blameless. All these things Paul bragged about. All these things were gained for Paul. Where are you at today, my brothers and sisters? What are you holding on to? What are you bragging about today? What are you sticking out your chest and puffing it out and talking about all these great things that you did. This was Paul before salvation. But I want you to notice something as we put up the next slide. Look what happens. Amen. All the things that were gained to him before salvation, look what happened. They shifted in columns. And now the only thing that he has in the gain column is Christ. That means all the difference in the world. And that's why he said, but what things? Well, what things are you talking about, Paul? Well, what did he just get finished telling us? All those things found in verses 5 and 6. Paul says, those things, he said, I counted loss for Christ. That at one time, this was what I was all about. At one time, this is what I took pride in. He said, but now all those things that were so meaningful to me at one point, all those things that I put my total existence and my total being into at one point, he said, all those things are but loss. If you look at your notes today, Paul begins by describing his losses as what things were gained to me. The things that were gained to Paul are mentioned, as we said, in verses 4 through 7, his Jewish heritage and his religious status. He felt that these things, once counted as gain, were now lost. One commentator writes on the word, I have counted. He says this, it's a mathematical term. Oh, I like this right here. It's a mathematical term which says to think about it and to come to a conclusion. So as Paul reasoned these things out, and Paul thought about all the things that he had and all the fleshly things that he could talk about and brag about, as he reasoned it out and as he did the math. You know, we have an expression today. What do we say? Just do the math. What did Paul do? Paul did the math. And when he did the math, he said the things that at one time were gained for me, he said, I counted them as loss for Christ. Jim Elliot, the missionary that was martyred, said, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And there are a lot of people that are holding on tight to the things of this world. And it's like Adrian Rogers said. He said that many of us that are holding on to the things of this world, that's like putting the chairs on the deck of the Titanic in order, arranging the chairs on the deck, getting them all nice and looking pretty, that you're putting all your energy on a ship that's going down. If you're holding on to the things of this world, you're putting your energy, you're putting your time into the things, into a ship that's gone down. When you became a Christian, all the things that were in your past that you counted as gain, that you got to put it on the other side of the ledger, that you got to put it behind you, and you got to say, as we're going to look in a couple of weeks ago, where Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's nice to have nice things. I have nice things. I enjoy nice things. You can't hold on to them. You can't let them hold on to you. Paul said the things that were gained and that I took pride in, he said, I let go. I was reading about a Spanish explorer. Some of you may have heard of him, by the name of Hernando Cortez. And when he came from Spain, he came to Veracruz, Mexico. And they came over on 11 ships. And as they got off the ships and came to Mexico, I don't know, but some of you historians might know what he did. He set all 11 ships on fire. They had just come from Spain. They had just come to a new territory. He set all 11 ships on fire. Why did he do that? Because he said, we're moving ahead. We're moving ahead. We're not going to turn back. We're not going to turn back. We're not going to look back, but we're moving ahead. And see, the problem with some of God's people is that, you know, we still got the ships in the dock. We're looking for the escape hatch. Paul said, look, I've counted that. I've looked at that life that I had. I looked at the life that's out there in the street. You know, some young people, you know, you're here today and you see that glamorous life. You see the people flashing the bling bling, and you see the people on TV doing the dances and all the other kind of stuff, and your heart and your desire is to go there. Paul said, I've counted it. He said, I looked at the leisure, and I looked at the bling, and I looked at the hip hop, and I looked at all the things that are over there. And when I came to the realization that Christ was as meaningful as he is, he said, all those things shifted to the other side. Those things that I hold dear. All my CDs, I tell the story that when I got saved, y'all know my story. I had Smokey and Temptations, and Stevie was just in town. I had all his stuff, and I had an album collection. And when I got saved, I gave it all away. I gave it all away. Now, I'm not telling people to go, because some of them I wish I had back now. But but listen to me. Is this thing on, Brother Jeff? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. This is what I realized. I realized that at that time, that's what I needed. That there was too much associated with that life that I had just come out of and all the garbage that I had just come out of, that in order for me to bring the music with me, it would have been too much of an attachment to go back again. And when I came, the Lord knew I had to make a clean break. And when I made the break, brothers and sisters, I made a break. I joined a church where, you know, they didn't smoke, cuss, or chew, or they didn't hang with people who do. I joined a church where you couldn't go to movies. I joined a church where it was just strict. But you know what? And I thank God, you know, I've loosened up a lot since then. Having four teenagers will loosen you up a little bit. You know, some of those strict guidelines, you know, I start, what do you mean, Dad, we can't go to movies? What's wrong with this movie? So I got loosened up a little bit. But this is what I'm saying. I'm saying for me, that's what I needed at that time to make that break away. And all those things that I had been counting gain, all the things that I enjoyed and I relished in, all those things, when I realized what I had in Jesus Christ, I had to let it go. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You see, some of us, even today, we're Christians, but we still have dibbled and dabbled in things that we should have let go. Oh, you was all right, Pastor Glaze, when you were talking about yourself. Yeah, you was all right when you was talking about yourself. Somebody said, you put the devil out. You put the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You got out of a bad relationship because it was bad, but you're still resentful and angry. You let him leave his bags. You got out of financial debt, but you still can't control the desire to spend on frivolous things. You let the devil leave his bags. You got out of a bad habit or addiction, but you still long to try it just one more time. You let the devil leave his bags. You said, I forgive you, but I can't seem to forget and have peace with that person. You let the devil out, but you let him leave his bags. You told your mate it was over, but you still continue to call. You let the devil leave his bags. You got out of a horribly oppressive job, but you're still trying to sabotage the company after you left. You let the devil leave his bags.
You cut off the affair with that married man or woman, but you still lust after her or him. You let him leave his bags. You broke off your relationship with that hurtful, abusive person, but you are suspicious and distrusting of every new person you meet. You let the devil leave his bags. You decided to let go of the past hurts from growing up in an unstable environment. Yet you believe you are unworthy of love from God and from others, and you refuse to let yourself be opened up and connect with other people. You let the devil leave his bags. You see, Paul said you got to make that break. You got to move on. The things that I once counted loss, I counted gain. The loss of worldly piety. The second thing that he talks about here in this passage is he talks about the loss of worldly perspective. Now, notice what Paul does in these verses. He comes from verse 7 where he says, what things? All right, watch this now, because he's making a shift here. What things? Well, what things was he talking about? The things in verses 5 and 6. Now, look where he goes. He says, yea, doubtless, I count all things. He moves from what things, and now he moves to all things. Now, he's even more specific, I think. Now, once again, this might be a bad job of exegesis, but let me have this. It's like I tell people, there's only one interpretation, but there's many applications, all right? So let me have my way with the application today, all right? Might be a little shaky, but I'm telling y'all up front, might be a little shaky, but I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway, see if you agree with me, all right? If not, I'll receive your phone call in Jesus' name. All right. All right. But the all things, notice what he counteracts that with. He said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So what I'm saying is that I believe that the all things as he's letting go is all things. I believe he's talking about all things, but I'm even being more specific in saying the old worldly way of looking at things. He's letting the worldly mindset be put aside. Why? Because he said, in view of the New American Standard says, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. He said, the fact that I know Christ, that all those, once again, I'm saying all things now, okay, I'm all things, but let me narrow it down. He's saying all the philosophies and all the other ideas that I've held my whole life, he said nothing compares to the excellency of the knowledge that I now have in Jesus Christ. He said, not only that, he said that it's above and beyond, it's better than any philosophy, it's better than the highest thinker. He said it's better. Oh, Sandy, Patty, and Larnell Harris put it like this. It's more than amazing. It's more than marvelous. It's more than wonderful. Paul said the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, nothing can compare to that. And so he lets us know that he lost the biggest loser. Paul was the biggest loser. He lost his worldly piety. He lost his worldly perspective. And now, He's consumed with this knowledge of Christ. You know, sometimes it's a matter of perspective. There was a lady named Debbie. She had just got off the airline. Her luggage was mangled. Her purse had disappeared. Instead of entering the airport, she had to be ushered in through an enclosed corridor. When she got off the plane, it was pouring down, raining. She was drenched. She was far from home, with no money, with no identification, and no dry clothes. Have you been there before? Say amen. I've been there. All right? Now, many of us would be furious. Many of us would be angry. Many of us would be enraged to see our luggage mangled, to see our purse, not know where it's at, to not have dry clothes or anything. But she wasn't like that. You see, she had just survived the crash of Flight 1420 in Little Rock, Arkansas. She said, "When I got off the plane, I walked off with nothing. Then I stopped and I thought, I have everything." She suddenly realized that her life was more important than all she had lost. Now, when I was telling that story, many of you who fly, you probably identified. Man, I can't believe the airline, you know, upset. But when we think about her perspective, she was walking away with her life. All the material possessions that she had that might have been destroyed in the crash, she walked away with the most important thing, and that was her life. And her perspective changed. And you know, some of us need a change of perspective today. Some of us, we need a new way of thinking. You know, we complain, and we are bitter, and we are angry, and we are moaning. And you know what? We need to change our perspective. We got a worldly perspective. You know, we sit around. Oh, watch yourself now, Pastor. Watch yourself. You know, we sit around and we watch shows that just feed on our anger and on our bitterness. We sit around and we hook up with people who just feed into that anger and that bitterness, and then we walk through and we think everybody's trying to take advantage of us. We think everybody's trying to get over on us. And so whatever little bit we got, whatever little tinsy, wincy, pincy little bit we got, we want to hold on to it, and we want to say us four no more and shut the door, and we want to hold on to it. Your perspective is wrong. Paul said, "I let it go. I let that worldly perspective go. For what? The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Before I came to Christ, I was a college student, and I was studying the books, and you know, I had at one time hooked up with the Black Panthers, and another time back in the 60s, the peace. You know, one time I was power, next time I'm peace. You know, I didn't know who I was. I was bounced around by all these perspectives, and at one time, I'm not, Assalamu alaikum. All of it, man, all of it. All those perspectives. Paul said that, I let them go for the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. I let them go. Paul was the biggest loser. He lost his worldly piety. He lost his worldly perspective. But now I know some of us don't want to hear this. He was willing to let go his worldly possessions. He says in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss." Now here he goes again with those all things, "whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Now I think to me now, once again, I might be taking a little liberty with the text, but the first all things, I think he was contrasting with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. This all things, he's contrasting with winning Christ. And then he refers to these all things. Now, I know that this is right before lunch, so I don't want to be too graphic, but he refers to the all things as dung. Look in your notes under this point, the loss of worldly possessions. All things are counted as dung. In the second part of verse 8, Paul contrasts the loss of all things with winning.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Biggest Loser. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Biggest Loser, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Biggest Loser. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Biggest Loser. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.